This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160, if you want to join the discussion. 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Angie,
and Bonnie.
And we were talking about the January 6th insurrection, but that's not the only thing that's happened in the last year worth talking about. There was the Michigan kidnapping case, where this group of people were... The media is characterizing it as kidnapping her, which I think is interesting considering these people wanted to arrest her. They wanted to execute a citizen's arrest against her. And the media realizes that, oh, arresting people is kidnapping them, but not when the police do it, apparently. So the Michigan kidnapping case is a major test for the Biden administration's commitment to fighting domestic terrorism. Oh, it's domestic terrorism when citizens arrest politicians. And a crucible for the fierce ideological divisions pulling the country apart. In the inky darkness, oh, this is going to be good. In the inky darkness of a late summer night last September, three cars filled with armed men began circling Birch Lake in northern Michigan looking for ways to approach Governor Whitner's three-bedroom vacation cottage, subdue her, using a stun gun if necessary, and drag her away.
And these were citizens?
Yes.
I like where this is going.
This is the first you've heard about it?
Yeah, I have. No, I've never heard of those.
Oh, yeah. So these people were planning to arrest the governor of Michigan for her COVID-19 restrictions.
Way to be proactive.
I only overheard that it was like a kidnap thing, so I didn't hear about that either.
Well, that's an arrest.
Yep.
Right? It's just which word you choose to describe it. I would say that it was an arrest, not a justified arrest. I'm not saying it was, but... there's no functional difference between kidnapping and arrest. One vehicle stopped to check out a boat launch, while a second searched in vain for the right house in the thick woods ringing the lake. The third car ran counter-surveillance, using night vision goggles to look out for cops and handheld radios to communicate with the others. Earlier, they had scoped out a bridge over the Elk River just a few miles away, scrambling down under the span to figure out where plastic explosives would need to be placed to blow a sky high. Wow.
Wait, what were they blowing up?
A bridge.
Oh, wow.
That would slow police response, giving the men time to escape with the governor. I never heard of the details of their plan, but it was apparently pretty thought out.
Yeah.
The governor had infuriated them by imposing COVID lockdowns, among other outrages, and they wanted to either take her to Lake Michigan, where they could abandon her on a boat, or whisk her to Wisconsin, where she could be tried as a tyrant. I don't know anything about trying to abandon her on a boat. I had always heard they wanted her to be tried as a tyrant. I didn't know they planned to take her to Wisconsin for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, does Wisconsin try politicians? Like, I've never heard that before.
Illinois does, and I would recommend that. I mean, just about every Illinois governor ends up in jail. I don't know how many actually end up in jail, but...
That's crazy. Why would you even run for governor?
Because the power? What, they end up getting charged with, like, corruption and stuff like that.
Do they get paid a lot of money?
I have no idea. I just know that it's a thing where Illinois governors end up, with some regularity.
And why can't everyone, press charges on their governor? Why does it just have to be certain states? Is it just like a state thing?
I don't know. Mm. It may just be an Illinois thing. Everybody down with what's going on? An Iraq war veteran in the group demanded to know when they ended their recon mission. Well past midnight at a campsite where they were all staying. If you're not down with the thought of kidnapping, someone else replied, don't sit here. Interesting, but who knows if that's what they really said. The men planned for all kinds of obstacles, but there was one they didn't anticipate. The FBI had been listening in all along. For 6 months... the Iraq war vet had been wearing a wire, gathering hundreds of hours of recording. He wasn't the only one. A biker who had traveled from Wisconsin to join the group was another informant. the man who'd advised them on where to put the explosives and offered to get them as much as the task would require, was, duh, an undercover FBI agent. Look, if someone says, we put the explosives, if let's plan to kidnap the governor, and this is where we're going to put the explosives on this bridge, and I can get you all the explosives you want, there's your federal agent. So was a man in one of the other cars who said little and went by the name Mark. So it seems that two of these three people, did I understand that correctly? No, three cars.
Three cars full of people.
Not three people. So at least two FBI informants or slash agents were there. Just over 3 weeks later, federal and state agents swooped in and arrested more than a dozen men accused of participating in what a federal prosecutor called a deeply disturbing criminal conspiracy hatched over months in secret meetings, on encrypted chats, and in paramilitary-style training exercises.
Not in encrypted chats.
Yeah, they love going after those, man. Seven of them, and that's part of the issue with encrypted chats. It's not protecting you if there's an FBI agent or multiple in the chat. Seven of the men who had driven to Birch Lake that night would end up in jail. The case made international headlines, with the Justice Department touting it as an example of law enforcement agencies, quote, working together to make sure violent extremists never succeed with their plans. Prosecutors alleged that the kidnapping of the governor was just the first step in what some on the right called the Big Boog, a long-awaited civil war that would overthrow the government and return the United States to some supposed Revolutionary War-era ideal, which would then immediately become a just like the modern United States did. The defendants, for their part, see it very differently. They say they were set up. The audacious plot to kidnap a sitting governor, seen by many as a precursor to the January 6th assault, they always call it, now it's an assault on the U.S. Capitol by hundreds of Trump-supporting protesters, has become one of the most important domestic terrorism investigations in a generation. The prosecutor has already emerged as a critical test for how the Biden administration approaches the growing threat of homegrown anti-government groups. Well, there's nothing wrong with a homegrown. Look, if your government is producing homegrown anti-government groups, then your government is doing something wrong. More than that, though, the case epitomizes the ideological divisions that have riven the country over the last several years. To some, the FBI's infiltration of the innermost circle of armed anti-government groups is a model for how to successfully forestall dangerous acts of domestic terrorism. But for others, it's an example of precisely the kind of outrageous government overreach that radicalizes people in the first place, and increasingly a flashpoint for deep state conspiracy theories. The government has documented at least 12 confidential informants who assisted the sprawling investigation. I can't imagine they had that many people. That 12 of this group of people must have, they arrested 12 people. And they also have 12 confidential informants who were assisting with the investigation.
So there were 24 people?
Presumably. Yeah. At least 24 people.
So 50% of the people were informants.
Well, we don't know how many people there were, but 50% of the people.
If there were 24 and there were 12 arrested and 12 were.
Well, we don't know how many people were a part of it but weren't arrested.
Okay.
Or part of the paramilitary training or whatever. We just don't know.
Because how do you not know that, you know, 50% of the people that you're hanging out with are federal agents?
Because
how are you not clued in on that?
Because they're not actually principal. I think these people got what they want or what they deserve because they plan to do something violent. You know, you get what you deserve. I think kidnapping is violent.
But I would agree. The trove of evidence they helped gather provides an unprecedented view into American extremism, laying out in stunning detail the ways that anti-government groups network with each other and, in some cases, discuss violent actions. An examination of the case also reveals that some of those informants, acting under the direction of the FBI, played a far larger role than has previously been reported. Working in secret, they did more than just passively observe and report on the actions of the suspects. Instead, they had a hand in nearly every aspect of the alleged plot, starting with its inception. The extent of their involvement raises questions as to whether there would have been a conspiracy without them. A longtime government informant from Wisconsin, for example, helped organize a series of meetings around the country where many of the alleged plotters first met one another, and the earliest notions of a plan took root. The Wisconsin informant even paid for some hotel rooms and food as an incentive to get people to come. And this was an FBI agent basically paying people
There's no way that they can actually charge these people with this now.
I don't know. I mean, they're going to try. But what are your thoughts? It sounds to me like the FBI played way too heavy of a hand here. 603-283-6160. More coming up here about this. It's Free Talk Live.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps as restrictions come to an end and you get back to work. Do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When it comes to the tools in your garage, it's all about lithium ion. Plenty of power, maximum efficiency, and a longer life. Introducing Novalift lithium ion powered forklifts. All the power and efficiency you need and essentially maintenance free. With a dramatic savings in overall cost of ownership, Novalift forklifts pay for themselves over time, and that increases your bottom line. Novalift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Contact us today for a cost analysis at novaliftna.com/save.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. has been fascinating me so much over the last few months. It really came to a head when we were talking about the Moors, who was this group of people who recently made headlines because they were in Massachusetts and open carrying. And the way that the article we talked about characterized the people and what they were doing was just amazingly slanted. Like, they described an armed standoff in the woods with state police. They had to bring in a hostage negotiator to help, ease the situation and help it come to an end. And they specifically used the word hostage negotiator, but there were no hostages. So they just brought in a hostage.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I remember reading about it, but I never read that there was any hostage.
There was never any hostage.
So what were they negotiating?
They were negotiating to end the tent situation.
Okay.
But they...
They said hostage negotiator in a way of making people subliminally think that there were hostages involved.
They could have just said
there
was a negotiator brought on scene.
Yes,
yeah, that's probably just like one of his other jobs or something. It's crazy.
And now that I've, become aware of that, I'm seeing it everywhere. Like, with the arrest and kidnapping thing here, the media very clearly knows that arresting someone is kidnapping.
Right.
And because these people who were planning to, quote, kidnap or arrest the Michigan governor, the media is characterizing it as a kidnapping.
It's so funny. There's two examples of things that the government did to me and you on March 16th, and they're characterizing it as a bad thing if it's done to the government. The first was, they went into somebody's house without asking. They did that to us.
Yeah.
And then they also kidnapped you and my boyfriend.
They did. The Iraq war vet, who was an informant for the FBI, for those who weren't here a moment ago, became so deeply enmeshed in a Michigan militant group that he rose to become its second in command. The FBI informant was the second in command. And he encouraged members to collaborate with other potential suspects and paid for their transportation to meetings. He prodded the alleged mastermind of the kidnapping plot to advance his plan, then baited the trap that led to the arrest. This account is based on an analysis of court findings, transcripts, exhibits, audio recordings, and other documents, as well as interviews with more than 24 people with direct knowledge of the case, including several who were present at the meetings and training sessions where prosecutors say that the plot was hatched. All but one of the 14 original defendants have pleaded not guilty, and they vigorously deny that they were involved in a conspiracy to kidnap anyone. Then they have a bunch of, posts here, their social media posts, and their supposed planning, who knows. The prosecution gathered thousands of social media posts, some 400,000 text messages, good God, and more than 1,300 hours of recordings. I can't imagine the size of the discovery in this case, including audio or video from all three vehicles. So all three of the vehicles had an informant or FBI agent in them. It alleges traveled to Birch Lake on the night of September the 12th. It maintains that this evidence shows many of those who were charged not only expressed anti-government sentiments, which isn't a crime, they're using anti-government sentiment in the same way that the government uses hate crime legislation. Sure, anti-government sentiments aren't a hate crime. Aren't a crime, but if you do something criminal, the fact that you have anti-government sentiments is going to be used against you to make your sentence harsher. Just like, with hate crimes. If you kill someone and they happen to be a protected minority, it's not illegal to hate that person, but you're going to be charged, sentenced worse based on that. But they also took concrete steps toward the goal of kidnapping or killing law enforcement officers and elected officials. I don't know that they took concrete steps toward killing law enforcement officials, not having looked at these 400,000 text messages, but it sounds like they wanted to prevent law enforcement officials from getting there, which is not killing them. But the defendants, as well as others, called in the sweeping investigation, which swept from Baltimore to Kansas City, claimed the talk never rose beyond the level of fantasy, and they never intended to harm anyone. That argument's not going to hold.
No, because they were in cars driving around this place.
Yeah.
With bombs.
Yeah, so that's not okay.
It definitely went beyond the level of fantasy, dudes. Although they have not denied participating in training events, attending meetings, and communicating with other defendants, They claim that no actual conspiracy to kidnap the governor ever existed. Instead, they say they were targeted because of their political views. Some describe the case as a premeditated campaign by the government to undermine the Patriot Movement, an ideology based on fealty to the Second Amendment and the conviction that the government has violated the Constitution and is therefore illegitimate. Now, I don't know anything about the Patriot Movement, but they sound correct. The government has absolutely violated the Constitution repeatedly.
And is illegitimate.
But there's no reason to kidnap anyone or arrest anyone. They argue that the recordings and text messages that the government calls proof of a criminal conspiracy are in fact constitutionally protected speech, expressions of frustration at what they see as the government's betrayal of its citizens. Attorneys for all but one of the defendants declined invitations to comment on the record for this story. To date, one defendant has formally accused the government of entrapment, arguing that the FBI assembled the key plotters, encouraged the group's anti-government feelings, and even gave its members military-style training.
Well, I think that's accurate. I think that is exactly what happened.
It is accurate, but also they agreed to do it. So I think that it is kind of on them. If you agree to do it, you should be, you know... If you're against what the government is doing, don't involve yourself in doing the same thing to other human beings.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's unclear whether or not they're probably not voluntarist anarchists. So they probably don't have an issue with the government, you know, criminalizing marijuana or heroin or something like that. So maybe they are sort of okay with the government kidnapping people. They just want it to be more restrained in how it does it. I don't know what their exact beliefs are. But they don't sound like voluntarists. To date, it certainly does sound like entrapment, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, the FBI set this up. And
they paid for hotels and meals. I mean,
free pizza if you come to a training event.
Yeah, you can come stay at this hotel with the swimming pool, and we'll take you to dinner.
Additional defendants have said they plan to make similar claims when the cases, divided between federal and state court, go to trial starting as soon as October. I don't know how they could possibly be going to trial that early with that many defendants, that large of a conspiracy, and that much discovery. Last week, the lawyer for one defendant filed a motion that included text from an FBI agent to a key informant, the Iraqi war veteran, directing him to draw specific people into the conspiracy, which is potential evidence of entrapment that he said the government, quote, inadvertently disclosed. So the FBI agent told one of the informants to draw specific people by name into the conspiracy.
Wow, that's scary.
He is requesting all texts sent and received by that informant, and other attorneys are now considering motions that accuse the government of intentionally withholding evidence of entrapment. Which is what that means. The government didn't mean to disclose that. That was disclosed inadvertently. Well, then you're withholding evidence of entrapment, because that's evidence of entrapment. I mean, this FBI agent specifically singled out individuals and said, get them involved.
Right.
I want to take them down.
Yep.
So reach out to them, buy their pizza, get them hotel rooms, pay for their travel, whatever you got to do. Do you think this is entrapment? Do you think it's going too far? 603-283-6160.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Wednesday rejected two of House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's picks for the January 6th committee. Pelosi made it clear she will not allow Congressman Jim Jordan and Jim Banks to serve on the committee. Banks criticizing Pelosi's decision on Wednesday.
The American people demand that their leaders step up to make sure that it never happens again. But we all know that this is an exercise in politics. It's not an exercise in finding the facts. And that's what's unfortunate about the speaker's move.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the final withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan is on track for completion by the end of next month.
The president has made a decision that we're going to get it done, and we're going to get it done right.
Austin adding the United States will continue to support Afghan security forces monetarily, and you're listening to USA Radio News. Senate Republicans are slamming Democrats for spending $3.5 trillion on infrastructure as inflation continues to rise. Speaking with reporters, Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky Mitch McConnell says Democrats are playing Russian roulette with our economy.
And it's still my hope that a few Democrats may be brave enough to stop this. I think it's a catastrophic direction for our country.
As COVID cases continue to rise across the world, Olympic organizers say there's still a chance they'll pull the plug on the Olympics this year.
The head of the Tokyo Olympics Organizing Committee says he hasn't ruled out canceling the games if a COVID outbreak gets bad enough. Toshiro Muto said Tuesday that if there were a spike in cases, he wouldn't rule out ending the games, which are set to begin on Friday. Since July 1st, there have been at least 67 confirmed cases of COVID among those accredited for the games. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
This is USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Live, where we've had video archives on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. I've been using Library for 4 or 5 years now. I absolutely love it.
I didn't know it was that old.
I don't remember exactly how long I've been. It was before I moved to New Hampshire, at the very least, was when I discovered it and started enjoying it. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be taken completely down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so now we're there every night, posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or at any time on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. But if you want to go all in, they have an app. It's a desktop app, and you can find it at library.com. That's L-B-R-Y.com. And then every video archive that you watch, you will help seed it and keep it online forever. At minimum, though, we do ask you to visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today, video.freetalklive.com. It certainly is an issue. I'm not sure whether or not the show is streaming on YouTube at all now, because it's kind of pointless. We haven't changed anything that we've said. So as soon as we're back on YouTube, it's just going to be a matter of days, if not weeks.
Do they just ban you, and then you get your ban lifts, and then you get back on, and they ban you again?
Well, yes, when you receive a strike, they give you a suspension. The first one is 3 days. The second one, I think, is No, the first one is 7 days. The second one is like 3 months or something, 2 months.
Okay.
I don't remember. It's quite a long time because we haven't been streaming on YouTube since March the 30th or somewhere around there.
May, June.
And, yep. because the ban, the second strike didn't expire for such a very long time. And if you receive a third strike on YouTube, they permanently delete your channel, including all of your videos.
Oh, wow.
So we were like, yeah. It's not worth the risk of losing all of these video archives to continue streaming at the moment. Let's wait until one of these strikes lift. But yeah, it's a very strange process. And every single appeal, we appealed all of them that we received. No reason given, just no, we decided that you're giving medical misinformation. Did you know that we have a banner on Facebook now?
I didn't.
If it's every time, but last night, like within 30 seconds of Free Talk Live going live, Facebook had the click here for vaccine information thing down at the bottom.
No.
So, I mean, yeah.
I'm not on Facebook. I have Messenger, but I deactivated my account, so no, I don't see it.
Messenger is the primary reason that I still have Facebook. Mm-hmm. Occasionally posting something.
Yeah.
I don't scroll through it or read the comments or anything like that.
I wasted so much time on that thing.
Yeah, it's what people do. They sit there scrolling through it. But I just know that I post a thought and then I go. People get upset with me occasionally. Like, you never react to comments or you never reply back. I'm like, well, no, that's not what I'm using Facebook for.
Right.
I'm using it to communicate with you. If you want to communicate with me, shoot me a message.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to have a call to Free Talk Live. I don't want to have this conversation on social media about government. That's not activism, in my opinion. But there are so many libertarians out there who think that arguing with people on Facebook is activism.
People love to argue on there.
Or just, you know, posting their opinions on Facebook is activism. It's like
they're making a difference.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, I'm certain I've got my FBI agent because of things I post on Facebook. Dude, if the entirety of your activism is posting on Facebook, you do not have an FBI file. And if they ever looked at you, they immediately wrote you off as harmless and threw that file into the shredder. So we're talking about the Governor Whitner arrest attempts by these individuals in Michigan, and everything that we're hearing sounds a lot like entrapment. One of the main informants was an Iraq War veteran, and the FBI directed him to get specific people wrapped up in the conspiracy. So the FBI agent presumably beheaded because he had a grudge against these people or whatever. We don't know his reasons, but he was like, hey, Iraq War veteran, who's informing me? I want you to take this person, that person, and this person, and I want you to get them involved. That's certainly entrapment. If they can identify who those individuals were, the case against them has to get thrown out, I would imagine.
I would hope so.
Meanwhile, Gregory Townsend, one of the lead prosecutors handling the cases against 8 of the defendants in Michigan State Court, was reassigned in May, pending an attorney general audit into whether he had withheld evidence about deals cut with informants during a murder and arson trial in Oakland County. On Sunday, in a matter apparently unrelated to the alleged arrest conspiracy, they keep calling it a kidnapping conspiracy, but just to drive that point home, I'm going to keep calling it an arrest conspiracy. One of the lead FBI agents in the case, Richard Trask, was charged in state court in Kalamazoo with assault with intent to do great bodily harm. Well, steroids cause people to make poor decisions. A spokesperson for the Michigan Attorney General's office said that the defendant's claims are not indisputable facts, adding that the office will counter and correct these issues in court. The Department of Justice declined requests for an interview or to provide comment for this article, citing its policy not to discuss pending criminal cases. An FBI spokesperson said the Bureau is aware of the charges against Trask, but declined further comment for this article. Now, I may have missed it. Oh, Trask was one of the lead FBI agents in the case. Presumably, he could have been the one who said, hey, find these particular individuals and get them involved. Claiming government entrapment is a common strategy in domestic terrorism cases, in part because it is among the only available defenses if prosecutors have evidence from extensive surveillance. Such defenses usually fail, and most domestic terrorism defendants are convicted, or they accept a plea deal. But not always. Less than a decade ago, for example, an apocalyptic Christian group in Michigan was prosecuted for allegedly plotting to murder police officers. Among other things, hold on, an apocalyptic Christian group in Michigan was prosecuted for allegedly plotting to murder police officers.
That's really surprising. Apocalyptic Christian groups usually seem to be kind of pro-government.
How could they possibly not have included a link to the news article about this? I want to know more about the apocalyptic Christian group that wanted to kill cops.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I'm going to Google it.
That's insane. Among other things, the defendants claimed that the entire conspiracy was instigated by deeply embedded FBI informants, and the defendants were ultimately acquitted by the judge. That makes more sense. Because, most Christians, especially if they're the apocalyptic type, tend to be pro-cop. Unless they're the Waco apocalyptic style.
Oh. I don't know anything about their beliefs.
Well, Waco wasn't actually apocalyptic, but who am I thinking of then? The people who drank all the poison to get on the Heaven's Gate cult. They were apocalyptic. They probably weren't fans of cops. Since its founding 113 years ago, Jesus Christ, the FBI is old. The FBI has relied upon and often paid confidential informants to aid in criminal investigations.
Did you say 113 years old?
113 years old. Starting in the late 1950s, it has employed them specifically to infiltrate dissident groups and spy on targeted individuals, including Black Panthers and Martin Luther King Jr. Notoriously went going after Martin Luther King Jr. The tactic has a decidedly mixed record.
That militia group was from 2010.
Wow, they didn't even get the year right.
March 29th, 2010.
They said less than a decade ago, didn't they? So I don't know why I thought it was the year 2000 for some reason. That they said.
Yeah.
Is there any more about them?
Yeah, there's quite a bit about it.
I mean, it sounds super fascinating.
Yeah, we can go into it if you want after this.
Yeah, absolutely. The tactic has a decidedly mixed record, as we said, but informants have also coerced innocent people, falsified evidence, and even committed murder while working for the FBI. Shocking. People working for the FBI accidentally killed someone, or purposefully killed someone. The Bureau's reliance on informants, much criticized in the 70s, received renewed scrutiny in the wake of 9/11, when they were used to probe Muslim groups for alleged involvement in Islamic terrorism. So that's... Oh, God, this just keeps going. I'm going to dig through it during the break to see if there's more worth discussing, but I think they made a pretty clear case that the FBI played a very heavy hand here. And, of course, we suspect that that would be the case because the FBI has been doing this sort of thing for a long time, but what are your thoughts? 603-283-6160.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Live. You're welcome to join in, 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Angie,
and Bonnie.
And this article that we've been talking about, it discusses a FBI agent named Trask and how he has pending charges for intent to commit serious grief. I don't remember the terminology they use, serious bodily harm or something like that. As it turns out, what they're referring to is on Sunday night, he and his wife had an argument over the attendance of a swingers party. It doesn't go into more detail than that. I don't know if, you know, she wanted to go and he didn't, or what the situation was. Oh, apparently it does go into detail. And he got angry, and as cops tend to do, he started beating her, ended up bashing her head into the nightstand and choking her. And he was released, this person who did that, who, you know, smashed his wife's head into a nightstand and then choked her.
Yeah, he's not a violent person or anything. He doesn't need to be held for, you know, 3 or 4 months like Ian.
Yes, he was released on PR, which is personal recognizance, which is, oh, yeah, he'll be good while he's out. There's no need to detain them or anything like that. This isn't a violent person we're dealing with. This person whose literal career is violence. Insane. And it's all because, you know, he's an FBI agent, so they're not going to hold him, even though he's very clearly a threat to people in society. So back into this article, according to Greg Rogers, who's a retired FBI agent who spent 2 decades working undercover on cases involving domestic terrorism, and he has a torso covered with gang tattoos to show it, the standard playbook for domestic terrorism investigations is to start with an informant who can infiltrate a group and gain trust, and then bring in undercover agents. That's an even bigger necessity in this era of social media, when informants are often vetted based on their online identities, which are hard to fake. I used to attend militia conferences and gun shows, but I never got into a group without being introduced by an informant first, Rogers said. Many informants agree to help the government because they have gotten themselves sideways with the law and are hoping to get their charges dismissed, have their sentences reduced, or win over other favors from prosecutors. Others are in it for the money, and holy crap, is there evidently a lot of money in it. One longtime federal informant has allegedly hauled in $4.9 million in government payments over the last two decades. That is a lot of silver for Judas to be wanting, I have to say. It's far less common for the FBI to recruit an informant, as it did with Dan, simply by appealing to his better nature. On March the 17th, Dan officially went on the FBI's books under the codename Thor. Dan could deceive the Wolverine Watchmen or other suspects, but he had to be truthful with the FBI. He could participate in the group's activities, but he had to stop short of anything illegal. Well, that's a new change for the FBI.
Was he one of the people that were riding around in the cars?
Presumably, yes.
So wouldn't that be illegal? You're going to commit, you mean you're riding around with a thing going to commit a crime?
Well, they were still in the planning stages at that point.
That wasn't the execution night.
No, the execution night was still weeks away when the FBI...
I understand.
As a matter of law, convincing people with no prior intention to commit crimes is known as entrapment, and is to be strenuously avoided by law enforcement. Federal agents and informants are instead supposed to passively develop evidence against people who are already, quote, predisposed to do illegal things, serving only as the eyes and ears of the prosecution. In practical terms, however, confidential informants enjoy tremendous leeway to get the goods. Informants in cases over recent decades have badgered suspects into committing crimes, paid them large sums of money to do so, and even threatened to hurt them if they backed out, according to Jesse Norris, a professor of criminal justice.
So they're a bunch of bullies.
They are.
They probably didn't get in any trouble for doing that.
No, of course not.
No, and got in no trouble. In fact, they were probably paid better. I mean, they threatened to hurt people if they backed out. They paid them large sums of money. That's the FBI informants out there. That's what they're doing.
Yep.
And not one of those instances, however, was the prosecution forced to drop the case. So Dan got to work. Within weeks, he was deeply ensconced within the Watchmen, training with them on weekends and teaching them the tactical skills that he had picked up in the Army. At first, the FBI focused on the three founding members, Musico, also known as Grandpa, Joe Morrison, and Paul Villar. And it gives a little bit of personal information about them. In due time, however, the FBI expanded its target list to include not only the entire group, but potential suspects as far away as Virginia. On the final day of April 2020, the Watchmen went to the state capitol in Lansing to join a big protest against Whitner's COVID-19 stay-at-home order. Dan wore a wire for the first time, traveling to the event with Musico, Morrison, and Villar. The men were decked out in ballistic body armor, brandishing pistols and AR-15 assault rifles, which was standard for the hundreds of protesters amassing in Lansing that morning. They were there, Morrison and Musico said, to recruit new members. But around noon, as they milled among the crowd, Dan started hearing whispers about storming the Capitol. Less than 2 weeks earlier, the Watchmen had built a mock-up of a house using PVC tubing, and Dan helped show them how to push inside before clearing each room, techniques he learned in the Army. The Watchmen referred to it as a, quote, kill house. I don't know what the significance of that is. Now, outside the Capitol, it appeared they might be preparing to put the training to use, this time with hundreds of state police officers standing between them and the imposing Renaissance Revival building. Villar was getting up, Dan would later recall in court. He described Musico saying he wanted to circle the building, where he would wait for Whitner, and said some nasty stuff. So Dan panicked. He slipped away from the group for a moment and spoke into the recording device he was carrying, which he knew was being monitored live by his FBI handlers. The Watchmen, he said, were preparing to breach the Capitol. The agents couldn't speak back to him, but he hoped they could at least warn the police about what was coming. Then something surprising happened. The Michigan State Police stood down and let the protesters, including those in full tactical gear, enter the building unopposed. They could even bring their guns, as long as they submitted to a temperature check for COVID-19.
Oh my gosh.
That is not the end of that sentence I expected.
Oh gosh.
Wow. They could even bring their guns.
Just let me take your temperature. Okay, you're good. Pass.
Oh, wow. What a world we live in. The Watchmen rushed to the building's second floor. Musico urged the increasingly frenzied crowd to push forward. When he spotted state troopers, he got in their faces, screaming, taking pictures of their badges, and daring them to touch him. It sounds like they encountered some well-trained state troopers.
Yeah.
Just standing by, like, like the old royal guards that, you know, we imagine just standing there not reacting. Everywhere in the crowd was a sturdily built, bearded man with an imposing AR-15-style assault rifle slung over his vest and the brightly covered colored Hawaiian shirt that has become a hallmark among Boogaloo Boys. At the time, 37-year-old Adam Fox had no close ties to any militant group, but he had been searching for one where he would fit in. Fox was living with his dogs in the basement of a friend's vacuum repair shop.
Oh, wow.
These
are the people that they target, the ones that, you know, can actually use some help.
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly dude is down on his luck.
Yeah.
And, you know, lacking long-term employment, he smoked weed and spent hours on Facebook looking to make connections with other members of the Patriot community.
I get it.
So they targeted this dude who was down on his luck and lonely and wasting his time instead of doing something productive, granted, but, you know,
he was a Facebook
no one is
activist.
Perfect all the time. And he was having a particularly bad period. His main outlet was weightlifting. Keller, who was with him on April 30th, Keller they probably identified at some point in this article, but I skipped over it because a lot of it really isn't very interesting, and neither is whatever Keller had to say. The watchmen, meanwhile, had worked their way toward an office they thought was Whitmer's and were banging hard on the door. Photojournalists began snapping pictures, and the three lined up in the hallway to pose menacingly for the cameras, but there was no actual violence, and the crowds eventually left without further incident. The shocking spectacle of the militants occupying the Capitol grabbed the media's attention. It was, as the Associated Press reported, an unsettling symbol of rising tensions in a nation grappling with crisis. It sounded like everything went fine.
Yeah, and they probably moved out of the way and let them in so nothing got broken, no one got hurt. They were like, let's just let these people in.
It sounds like some really good decisions were made.
I think so.
This guy was like, hey, you know, being an FBI informant, definitely not the best decision, but this guy was one, and he said, hey, they're planning to storm the building, and whoever was in charge said, okay, well, we don't want this to turn into a bloodbath, so stand down.
Yep.
Just let them in. And just let them in as long as they freaking get their temperature taken.
Because we don't want COVID.
Is this the January 6th at the Capitol? Is that what you've been describing?
No, this was at the Lansing State House.
How come I never heard about this one?
As far as I understand it, this was... Not the
because it wasn't Trump's fault. That's why you didn't hear about it.
Yeah, I was like,
yes, this was
like the
in
same
Michigan.
Thing.
The Michigan State Police were the ones who stood down. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss that because I just assumed it was in Michigan. It was. What are your thoughts on this? Who was in the right here? I tend to think that the state troopers, believe it or not, handled it as well as they could have. But maybe you think differently. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.